I'm not sure of the date, but I would guess in the late 1930s, somewhere in there, a young woman was raped, and they never caught the guilty party. But anyway, and she became pregnant as a result of it, and the church that she went to told her she should get an abortion, and her parents told her she should get an abortion, and she thought about getting an abortion. And anyway, and she couldn't do it. And she decided against it. But she was a churchgoer, and so she had a boy, and he grew up, and as a teenager, I think he went to a Billy Graham crusade or something, and he got saved and turned his life over to the Lord and became a minister and a powerful preacher. And anyway, and some of us, I don't know, anybody here ever go to any James Robeson meetings? Yeah. That was James Robeson. And we used to go down to his meetings, and down in Texas, I went down to several of them, and he was just a down-to-earth individual, and we'd be, you know, we're a pretty good-sized auditorium, but a number of times, I mean, he walked by and he shook people's hands, and I shook his hands a couple of times, and one day, as he came down, and Joanne and I can't remember exactly what happened, but he stopped, and he shook my hand, and wanted to know what my name was or something, and anyway, he said, I'm going to pray for you, and whether he did right then or not, you remember? I can't remember if he did right then or not. He said, God's hand is on you. That was a statement. Well, that's not the end of the story. I talked to Shelley the other day. And she says, guess what's on the internet? Guess what's happening? Donald Trump has gotten a hold of James Robeson and wants him to pray with him about this, the election and all of these things. And I thought, is this strange or is this strange? Is this strange? And so anyway, have you heard anything about it?
Not the money.
Has anybody heard anything about this? Well, apparently a lot of people have. But anyway, I thought that's a kind of a strange bowl of applesauce. In John chapter 8 and verse 40, Jesus made a statement. Now, what I did is I checked this out in a number of other translations to say if it says the same thing. They all say the same again, okay? And it says, Jesus said, now you seek to kill me. Now these are the ones that were followers. And remember in verse 32 or 31, it says, 30, 31. Am I in the right chapter here? In verse 30, it says, he spoke these words to them, and many believed on him. Then Jesus said, Jesus, to those Jews which believed on him. Now, these are the ones that believed on him. And he says, now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth. It says the same thing in every translation that I have. You seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This did not Abraham. Didn't matter what people wanted to hear. He told the truth. This did not Abraham. And then they accused him of being of their father, the devil. Well, anyway, I don't know what this is all about. I had a reason for all of this. There's a scripture in Isaiah 57:1. And I'll read it, and then I'll sit down. I have a lot to say, but my mind is doing funny things. But anyway, it says, when the righteous perish, and I must say it my own way here, it says, no one realizes that they are being spared from the evil that is to come. That's what it says. No one realizes they are being spared from the evil that is to come. How does it say in your translation? This is in Isaiah 57:1.
The righteous perish, and no one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away, and no one understands. The righteous are taken away. To be spared from evil.
Okay. Well, my translation somewhere said it a little bit different there, but it's like God will purposely take him out of the way, like he maybe did with Enoch. You know what I mean? Because all hell was going to break loose. Anyway.
God is good all the time. I haven't spoken too much about my situation, which is okay. What's important is how God is keeping me in that situation. I find myself stuck between trying to serve multiple masters, which, you know, has a fairly good spiritual connotation to it, and the problems that arise from trying to do that. So I thought I would share a little bit about how the Lord is using my natural to open my spiritual eyes. And the trick in that is being aware that God is always working. And the question is whether you're sleeping or not. So, the situation I've got is that I have multiple opportunities or options going on. And every one of these things has an impact or involvement, and they're intertwined. And again, it kind of reminds me of my walk in my life. And at the end of the day, all it really forces me to do is to realize that He is in control. And I know we say that, and all of you have heard me say that, and those of you who know me really well know that that's something that I don't do very well. It doesn't come easy to me. Totally being dependent upon God goes against the way I was brought up, goes against the way I'm supposed to conduct myself as a man, goes against the way I'm supposed to conduct myself as an armed forces member, goes against everything that I have been and am supposed to be if you listen to the world. If you listen to God, making yourself open to what He's going to do is the easiest thing that can happen as long as you're willing to let go. I have found through different things in my life that every time I have said, basically, I can't do this, He's filled the void. Now, I'm not going to get up here and tell you that every time He's filled the void, I've been dancing in the street. God fills the void as God sees fit, not as I might want Him to do, which enforces another iteration of turning myself over to God instead of trying to lift this thing and fix this thing. You know, that scripture about steadying the ark always impacts me, because where's the line between trusting God and being and having works? Where's that line? You know, is God expecting me to take a step, take a stand, and help Him? But you never really need to help God. You have to ask yourself, what does God want of me? I don't know what God wants of me. The only thing I know is that God needs me to be willing to seek Him and to trust Him and to rejoice in what He has for me. Just so you know, I'm not walking in this in perfection. I just know this is where I need to be. But He's getting me there. My testimony is that God is getting me there. I am so much closer to be willing to know and accept what He has for me than I was, pick a time. Every day I'm closer. And that's the glory. Every day I'm closer. And I know that there are days and times when it doesn't seem like this work is taking place, but it's taking place. Not fast enough to make the natural man happy, I admit, but it's taking place. The other day, something was said, and maybe I repeated it, but I think it bears repeating again today. I've grown so much to realize how little I know and how great He is. And I have been kind of dwelling on that and kind of pondering that. Because truly, the more open you are to what He is and what He can do and who we are and what we can do or can't do, it really gets easier. When you really, truly recognize how great our God is, and how much He loves us, and what He wants for us, it gets a little bit easier to let go of the steering wheel. At least in my walk, it has been. So, don't despair if you're in the horns of the crux of a dilemma, as my dad would like to say. Don't despair that things are going on in a way that you know you can't totally resolve, and you're just kind of along for the ride. Because if your heart is right, and you're open to what he has to do, then what's going to happen will be his will. And if you're in his will, nothing bad ever comes out of being in his will. If you keep eternal eyes on it, I mean, natural eyes can think, yeah, this isn't so good. this is not exactly what I thought. If you keep your eyes on eternal eyes, being in God's will, nothing bad ever comes out of being in God's will.
I go into jail twice a week here, and we talk about things of the Lord in there, and it's good. One of the things I've said a couple times, though, you know, there's that scripture that says, "Knock and the door will be opened unto you," you know. And I tell the men, that's obviously not true. Try knocking on that door, see if it opens, you know. It won't. You know, it's a jail. But it is true, you know. It is true. It is true. And somewhere, you know, it's not true in any simple, natural way, but it's true. And I urge them to hang on to that truth, even though it's obviously not true. You know, as in, try knocking on that door, see if it's going to open for you. Hang on to it. You know? And it goes on in their life. There was a fella who, his mother had bought him a newspaper subscription. You know, and he wasn't getting the paper. He wasn't. He complained to the jailers about it, and they said, "We don't know," you know. And his mother complained to the newspaper company and says, "Well, we deliver it to the jail, you know. We don't, you know." And he was kind of seething mad. His jailers are not delivering the newspaper to him. Well, we prayed about it, and he started getting the newspaper, you know. Same fellow, he was looking at either 6 months or 12 months, and, you know, he was going to be in. And we prayed for him that it'd be just 6 months. Well, it ended up being about 2 months, you know. And there have been a number of times. Now, there's times we pray, and nothing good happens at all, you know. Fella that is Christian. You know, I think he goes to a Pentecostal church. And he was charged, he claimed, unfairly. Not, you know, he hadn't done the thing for which he was being charged, but... And they dropped the charges. But the whole thing resulted in his revocation of parole. He'd been on parole. So he had like 2.5 years more to go. He'd be on parole. And if he violated parole, he could end up going back to prison, you know. And we prayed about that, prayed. And his parole was revoked. He's back in prison now, you know. His heart was good. Oh, his heart was good. And, you know, he has an anger problem, but he was really doing a good job of accepting. And who's to say that's not an answer to prayer? Who's to say that, spending that time in prison, it's tough. He's got a wife out there that is... not doing real well by herself. You know, she's got some emotional problems and kind of needs him to, for stabilizing, and he's not there to stabilize, and it's tough. You know, it's tough be dealing with that. He's, you know, he gets along all right wherever he is, but he's got a wife out there that doesn't get along necessarily all right when wherever she is, and it's troubling to him. But through it all, it's been good. It's been a good thing for me. Kind of put myself in their shoes and, to be praying about these situations and so forth. And I realize the difference between this life and the next one. You know, this life just is not designed to have everything go right. That's not the way it is. It's not that we're gonna overcome in righteousness. You know, we fall short. We flub up. We get indifferent where we shouldn't be indifferent. You know, there's just a. But the Lord is faithful regardless. You know, we pray that this revocation hearing go right, and it goes wrong. But still, the scripture that we knock, he opens the door, that is true, even though it's obviously not true. And hey, in heaven, it is going to be different. It's going to be different in heaven. The things that we long for, they will be fulfilled there. We will be known even as we know, you know, that glass darkly just won't be there. We'll have his light and his truth, you know. And that is the thing we need to hang on to. We need to, you know. I know Christians are accused of being too heavenly minded. I don't think that's true at all. There just is not enough heavenly minded stuff going on. You know, we are so caught up in the here and now, thinking that no, folks. Hey, things are going to go wrong here. It's just as easy as that. It's going to go wrong, and you're going to go wrong. You're going to fall short of the standards that you have for yourself. Certainly, fall way, way, way short of the standards that God has for you. Way short. And there's a lesson in that too. There is a lesson in all the ways that I fall seriously short, and yet God is faithful in it. God is faithful in it. Not that I want to kind of be satisfied with the fact that I fall short. I don't. And at some point along the line, you run the risk that you're satisfied in it. Well, he end up being with those that he says he never knew. You know, it's a perilous deal. It's a perilous deal. And yet, God is good. And it will be so good in heaven. It's good now in its own way here on earth, but it will be so good in heaven, so good.
We wait too long between the testimonies here. Somebody's going to turn the CD off thinking that's the end of it.
But the scripture that says, all things work together for good to them who love God and who are called according to his purposes. And we're experiencing some of the goodness of the Lord, and there's a bad side of the thing, but you know what? The other side is getting better and better, gooder and gooder. And so I am thankful. I am so thankful for what God does. You know what? God's will is established. And when Jesus says that we are to pray, your will be done, or, you know, and we think, you know, well, I hope it lines up with mine. And it might. And it might not. It doesn't matter. God is going to still do what he has designed to do from the beginning of time and before. And if God is able to, and he is, to prophesy through the prophets and tell something that's going to happen precisely 5,000 years before it happens, is there any problem with who God is and what he does? We sit here and we're like, you know, like a little baby's trying to figure out what is the right thing to do. And the thing is, we can't do it. We don't know the right thing. But you know what? God is still going to do it his way, irregardless. Does anyone have anything to share? Come on up. We're floundering a little bit, and I know I am, and I have been full all week, and here I sit.
Charlie was talking about praying. You get your prayers, you get your prayers answered, and then the other ones, you know, they seem like they don't. And Jesus prayed. How often does Jesus pray and he doesn't get his prayers answered? He prayed to the Father. He says, Father, is there any way that this cup can pass away from me? He said, cup pass away. I don't know what that means in English, but I imagine it means, can I be not crucified? Basically, he said, is there any other way? God did answer his prayer. Did he get crucified? Yes, but you know what he did? What did he do? Because he was weak. Jesus was weak at that moment. God sent him an angel to strengthen him. He says, and an angel was sent to strengthen him. And the prayer wasn't answered like Jesus wanted. But then, obviously, the angel did strengthen him. And then Jesus had no more need for him to not want to be crucified. So, there he goes. He gets, hit and lied on, and he says nothing. I mean, what kind of strength is that? That you can be beaten and say nothing, and talk lies about you and say nothing. That's an angel strengthening you, or whatever the word is. And that came to me this week. Also, another thing that regarding praying. We say, you know, we love saying, with God. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And is it with God or for God? It's with God. With God, all things are possible. So we walk around, with God, all things are possible. So let's just ask, right? But there's a difference between with God, all things are possible, and for God, all things are possible. Because, yes, for God, all things are possible. He can do whatever he wants. He can do anything. But when we ask, it's not for God, all things are possible. It's with God, with God. You have to be with God in order for things to be all possible. They're not going to be possible just because they're possible for God. If you want them to be possible for you, you have to be with God. And there's a big difference. So I hear that so often, people. Oh yeah, with God all things are possible. Let's pray, whatever. And who cares about God's words? And who cares about anything? No, it's with God. That's why so many scriptures, if my words abide in you, you abide in me, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done to you. It's with God. So when we, if anybody's in need of prayer, ask him prayer from us. You know, if that comes about, say, hey, remember, it is possible for God to do whatever he wants. He can make the sun disappear and we can still live in the world. But it's with God. You need to be with him for all things to be possible. For you to have an angel to come and strengthen you.
You know, on that, what Pablo was saying, the thing that is hard for us, we may think someone's not with God, but he knows they are. And he'll answer prayer. You know, because I'm just thinking, well, geez, I've heard a prayer being answered for individuals, and they didn't look like they were walking with God. But, you know, it's the condition of their heart that we can't see, you know. But it's true, and I think I have to be with God. But you know, there are times when you don't feel like you're with God, and he could still be doing the impossible in your life. You know, it's a weird, because he just is who he is. And then he'll go and defy everything we say and do it completely out of context, you know. But the only thing I want to do is I just want to read a little settings of Scripture, a little bit to do with last week, I guess. And it had to do a little with, you know, Jesus and a man or God, and where do we line up? And it's like, I mean, that setting of Scripture really sits with me about being baptized into his death and resurrected into his life, which, like Keith presented at the very first time, like, you can't be baptized into deity, you know? So in Philippians, I just got like three settings of Scripture, and they're like 10 verses in between. So I'm just going to read them, because it's almost like it flows. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Big key. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Boy, get me there, because I'm not. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. That was down in 10. I started in 3. Then it goes to 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his invisible, non-seeing spirit, because he's deity. Well, of course, that's not what it says. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Glory. He's going to have a body. Well, how can that be? See, it's, and I mean, obviously, and you know what? I'm not going to judge those people because they don't see that. Because I see it, and I'm still not doing good. You know? but it puts you like a step closer. I mean, the fact of having truth, I mentioned this last week, I think, doesn't necessarily mean it'll get you a ticket to heaven, you know. But it's a glorious thing to have truth. And I believe that truth is the only thing that is like it is for sure. It's eternal. It can't be argued away. It can't be done away with. Truth will stand. It's like that one scripture says, but we don't fight against this truth, but stand for the truth. I think that's how it's put by Paul. And which makes sense. I mean, and so I was finding myself a little bit this morning thinking, you know, like I know that I'm in a state of where Paul was, where it's, you got to say, Lord, in my weakness, be my strength. Because I am weak and I can't do it. You know, I need you. And then I was thinking like, so, boy, a great, intense encounter would really help. But I don't think that's going to happen. Because all of us need to get to a place. See, that would be the easy way in a sense. You know. And that's not what he's always looking for. You know. Trials and tribulations. And you got to get through. Well, like Corky was saying. You know, it's like, he's going through that. You don't like what things are going on around you, but you know that he can have his control and it can work out for the best for you if you let him, you know, and accept how things are going as just what you go through to get there, you know. And like, I don't know, recently, all of a sudden, all the things, it's like, all the things that could be fixed in my house is overwhelming. You know? And at the same time, it's almost like, but if I can just live there, I don't care. But I know there's an in-between there. You know? It's like I've always said, I'm not a castle guy. You know? I don't need one. Now, that's not always beneficial to the people that are with you, like a family or whatever. But at the same time, you know, you're supposed to be somewhat responsible for what you've been given. But it's like if I start adding up all the costs of everything, it's way beyond what I can do. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to play it by ear and listen, hopefully, to God. And I'm going to ask him to help start directing, you know. Where is it, you know, where is it important and where isn't it, you know, and so yeah, lots of things going on, and you know what? It's probably in preparation. He's just, you know, it's like, well, I keep mentioning it. How can you think you've gotten so far yet you know you have nothing or know nothing? You know, well, it's not only not knowing nothing. It's like I don't seem like I am anything. You know, in a sense. In the Christian perspective, you know. If you go through this, I know it's worth it if you end up with the spirit rather than the flesh. I mean, that is ultimately the place to be. And it'll have an impact. It just doesn't look like it now, you know. I mean, I look and it's like, you know, it says you got to have faith for what you cannot see. And a lot of that is what hasn't happened yet. Well, it's a great part of what that is. But I look around at certain situations and where people are and I'm going, how would they ever want to listen to the gospel? You know. But it's always been that way, you know. There's always the people that don't want to hear the gospel, and then all of a sudden God shows up and they're on their face, repenting, you know. I mean, that's happened lots of times in the history of the church. How does that happen? Because God shows up with his spirit. And if he wants to convict, he can convict anybody, you know. Now, whether or not they give in to the conviction, but he can put conviction on anybody to where they know what is this? This ain't real. You know, this isn't normal. So that's the things that I have to keep bringing up in my spirit that keeps my faith going, you know, to know that whatever isn't looking like glorious right now, that doesn't mean nothing, you know. And we've been spoiled a little sometimes, you know, with some glorious times within this church. And, of course, there's a longing for something like that. I don't want what that was. I want what the new thing is. But it's just, you know, be patient. Be long-suffering. And it'll happen. It helps to hear Corky. Helps to hear Pablo. Helps to hear Charlie. Helps to hear Keith. I mean, it really does. For me, I got to keep hearing you guys, you know, and I do. I truly appreciate this silly little group that seems like nothing, and that's the good part, because we know we're nothing, you know, and it has to be him.
Yeah, give a buzzer. Pablo touched on something that I need to confess. One of the best settings in the Bible for me is that Jesus said, "I'm out. Take this away from me." I've always looked at that and said, you know, if Jesus can be brought to the point of not wanting to do God's will, I'm okay. I'm there all the time. It's just once or twice I'm in wanting to do God's will. But then Pablo reminded me that what did God do? God met that need, sent the angel. Now, think on that just a little longer. So here we are, just going through life. And we can't do God's will. We're not willing to do God's will. God can fix that. Mm-hmm. God fixes that. Yeah. This is where I am, and God knows your heart, and God fixes that. Yes, it wasn't like there was this huge, oh, please pray, please help me, please, you know. He just said, I can't do this. God knew his heart. God sent an angel. God allowed him to do God's will. I need to hang on to that. When I am faced with the choice of this is what I should do, this is what God's will is, and I'm not quite there yet, I know that God can fix that. I know that God can make that happen. And all I need to do in that is to be willing to let him. That's my only requirement, to have a heart open to God for him to do what he wants to do. I don't know about you, but that really frees me. I'm not responsible for this. God is going to do what God's going to do, and all I have to do, and there's air quotes on that, all I have to do is wait for God. And we all know how well that works for me and others. I'm waiting on God to fix my car, fix my house, fix my job, fix my relationship, fix my taxes, fix my business, fix my health, and I can fill the rest of the time in all the things that God could do. And he can. Now the question is, I have to go back. Does God think my taxes is important? Does God think my health is important? Is it really eternal for God to fix the house? Is it really eternal for me to have a good car? And you know, when I really look at it and really get honest with me and get honest with God, it's like, these are not important things to the Father and to heaven. These are not eternal things. And I've been there, and believe me, I'm not... I don't know if there's anything tougher in our walk than staring at a natural situation and going, but this is good. this is exactly what God wants for me, and I relish it. I'm asking for Him, you know. So when I get in these points, when I really, really get down, I just go, you know, Corky, look at Job. The book of Job is in there for exactly this. Because no matter what happens to us, if God has His hand on you, and He does if you're keeping your heart open to God, it's going to work out in the end. It might not seem so to those here on earth. It just might be, you know, bad situations in the natural. You don't know the position that person has with God. So, I don't know. I don't think we're floundering at all today. I think you all have got a bad perspective. We're not floundering. We're in glory. We're in the pit. We're struggling. We're not so sure why we're not so happy. I don't care. I do not care about how happy I am today. I only care about my relationship with Him. And you know what? He will fix that. Even Jesus said, I really don't want to do this. I'm not looking forward to this. Isn't there another way? And frankly, let's admit it. There is another way. God could have done it any way He wanted to. I bet there was a million ways He could do it. But God wanted it done this way. And I believe, not in any way to come against Scripture, the way that Jesus, because He had to die and shed blood to become the perfect sacrifice, was the only way. So, I'm sorry if you guys aren't ready to admit that because things aren't all so good today, that it's not good. I'm just going to tell you, you just got to get your head straight. How bad could it be? It's great. Let God be God. Get out of the way. And it's easier to say, you know, I don't know everybody's struggle, but it is what God wants it to be if you're trying to follow God. Where we are is where we are. You know, as I got up last time, I said, I have multiple things pulling on me. That's the enemy in my life. You have to be able to say, okay, this is not really important. It's causing me concern. I have to spend cycles of my life on this. None of this is helping me get to where I want to be. And I've got this. And so, in my case, it's business things for you. It's family problems. Or it's money problems. Or whatever it is that goes on in the natural that takes your heart and your mind off of God. Look at those as the enemy working against you. Because really, that's what that is. So I've been kind of the champion of being in the pit and thanking God for it. I've done that many years. All I can say is for many, many years, I've had to fight difficulties, and here I am. So in a way, my testimony is, if bad things can happen to you, and you keep your heart to God, your face down in the Word, and you keep looking for Him to fix what needs to be fixed, you win. If winning means that you get to spend eternity with Him. And I don't know, for me, everything else gets pretty pale when you say eternity with God or something else. Something else really starts to get to be, it's in the noise. And I think we actually, it's funny, last week we were all saying, you know, we're all great because we know that God's in control. So whatever happens in the election, whoo, bring it on. This week we're all like, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, oh. And I'm like, wow. Think about that. Think about if you can go from saying, I'm going to give it to God and then let the enemy work in your life and go, in a week's time, what's happened? Well, I'm not so sure I want to give it anymore. I mean, you know, I'm not really so, you know, it's like, take your hand off the ark. So, it's bad when I have to be the one that's bringing enthusiasm to the pulpit. You've all really hit a new point when Corky's up here rah-rahing you, because for God's sakes, people, God's got us where He wants us. And you have to be okay with that. And that's all you have to do. All you have to do is say, Lord, do this, and I will do it.
Okay, so I just came in halfway through Corky's testimony, so I don't know what all the doom and gloom must have been. I have no idea. But nothing's changed for me since last week. Okay, which I wasn't here. But I just wanted to share a couple of things on Corky's. I had another thing going in my head the last couple of days, but a couple of points that I have learned. I'm only 44, but been here for 42 years. A couple of things I've learned in Corky's point was when it comes to earthly things like taxes and cars and my physical shape and my mental shape and all these things, in touching on the point of giving it, Emmy, go sit with Grandma. Just leave her sit there, but don't stand up. In touching the point of giving it all to God, this is where God wants me to be, blah, 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 I remind myself sometimes when things go off, not, you know, the car trouble, but did I run the car really, really good and it broke down? Yeah, because I'm giving the car mileage. I'm, you know what I mean? I'm driving the car, so obviously the car is going to end up with issues. And so I've learned as I go about life, you know, taxes. My taxes are all screwed up. If I go back and I think to myself, did I do everything? Okay, come here. Okay, stand right here, but you have to stand right there because Grandma's going to talk and you're not going to move. So did I... When I stop and think, when there's a failure or a thing that I think that God's putting me through, I have to stop and remind myself, did I do all? Did I do the all? Did I, you know, if there's a kink in my taxes, and I'm just saying taxes because Corky's taxes, if there's a kink in my taxes, did I do all? If my earthly body, if I got all these diseases or issues, did I do all? Did I actually do all? Or did I step off the path to earn or deserve what's happening to my body? Did I, do you know what I mean? And it was easy for me to look and wonder, you know, why am I going through this? Or why am I going through this? Or why am I going through that? And it reminds me of when you are, you know, it says God knows what you have need of before you ask. And it's like you're wandering around and you're like, well, God, I don't know why this and why that and why this. And I'm just waiting for you to tell me this. And I'm just waiting on you and waiting on you and waiting on you. And he's standing there like this. I already gave it to you. It's right here. You don't need to, you know, you don't need this. It's right here. So it reminds me of when you know, you're walking around complaining to God that you've got blisters on your feet and all these things, and he's standing there with a pair of boots. And he's like, well, I got the boots, and I know you need them. I'm just waiting for you to ask me for the boots. But if you're standing back there saying, I'm just waiting, and I'm waiting, and I've got blisters, and I'm just going to stand here and wait. God already made us enough. He's our creator, that he gave us what we need to eat, what we need to do, how we need to serve him. He already put it in here what we need to do. This is our all. Everything that we need is our all. So when we stand back and we wait, and we're waiting on God and waiting on God, it reminds me of a little boy standing there going, well, I've got blisters and I've got all this stuff. And the father is standing there with a pair of boots. I got the boots. Ask me. You know what I mean? Like, ask me, but don't stand there and complain and wait on me, because I will give you the boots. However, he doesn't just go around handing out boots. He wants to give the boots to the ones that want the boots. But waiting, sometimes, in a waiting, and I'm only saying this because I've been there, done that, I've watched people wait. But if you're waiting, you may never get it, because he's already provided what we need right here. And I lived for so many years just why this and why this and why this and why this until I realized, wait a second, did I do all? Or have I stepped off over here? If God made us to be like this and we step off over here, we cannot complain to him anymore. We can't say, well, what happened? And he's like, I don't know why you're over there. You know what I mean? So it was just something that touched on what Corky said. And it's easy for us as Christians to wonder, you know, why the cars break down and why this and why that and why this. Well, those are all earthly things. Like Corky said, does God care about our taxes? Does God care? Well, not. But, you know, he does because we're his children. He cares what we care for. And he wouldn't put us on this earth unless he knows we need to have earthly things. You know what I mean? So he does care for those things. But he cares more about our salvation, more about our soul. And if any of those things are affecting our salvation or our soul, then I suppose he'll put those on our path because he wants us right back to giving him our all. Okay.
So, I don't know what the doom and gloom was, but it was really just quiet. Oh, nobody was saying anything.
Well, this election was so
scary. I thought of a scripture when Ken was talking. It's in Hebrews 10:25, and it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But, and especially as you see the day approaching. And we are one of the strangest church settings of any that I know of. Because here God is doing some phenomenal things in our lives because of his word. We get together once a week. Well, I have a little message on Sunday nights, but other than that, the extent of what we are hearing is right now, during this hour. And I'm thinking, that's not a real good forsake not the assembling of yourselves together thing. Mm-hmm. And back in the 80s, we got together every day. And awesome things were happening. What would happen today if we got together every day? Well, we can't. In some cases, but you know what would happen? I don't know who said this, but it made me think of it. You know what? The Bible says there is one God. You know what that tells me? God's in a category by himself. It doesn't say there's two gods. It doesn't say God the Son and God the Father and God the Son. There's one God and one mediator and one Son. One only begotten Son. It's like, does it matter? And the thing that we don't understand or don't realize sometimes is the fact that this understanding and revelation that God has begun to give us is truth. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. That is truth. That's not an option. That's not a take it or leave it. It is a truth thing. Does it matter? Does it matter if we see it? Jesus says to his disciples, he said, who do you say that here's what he said. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, he kind of told them who he was. He's the Son of Man. Who do they say? And so today they'd say, if he asked them, who do you say I am? They'd say, well, you're God's Son. And he'd say, I don't think so. I'm not familiar with that. Because that is not what this Bible says. So does it matter how we see Jesus? John said, every spirit that confesses that Jesus that he came in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that, what spirit? What happened back in the 200 years after Christ? A spirit came along. It began to confess something that was not scriptural. It was not God's will. Does it matter? I ran into something this week, and I want to show you something. It's in Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to read a few verses, just to hit them, but you can read the whole chapter. But anyway, in verse 1 it says, Ho, everyone that thirsts is thirsty, come to the waters. He that has no money, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Okay. Now, down verse 6. You read the verses in between. Don't leave anything out. Verse 6. Okay, come and buy wine and milk and whatever without money. In verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord when he can be found. And call upon him
when
he is near. Okay, now, this is all the same chapter. Verse 8. And we're familiar with this because I've quoted this and so have you. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Okay? Now, we don't want to confine that. Is that the end of the thing? Verse 8 and 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not hither, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Okay? You're familiar with that? You know what the whole crux of this thing is? The whole bottom line of everything that I have just read? Is the next verse. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It's rain that falls. It is the thoughts of God that are higher than our thoughts. It's his ways that are higher than our ways. That's what we're talking about. And he says, so it is. I saw it and I finally put the verses together. I shouldn't say that. The Holy Spirit put them together. And I saw, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me empty. What does this word do? Why did God suddenly put within us to begin to consume this thing day and night? Because it puts his thoughts and his ways in us. It is the rain. That's what it said. As the rain come down, so is my word. God's word is like rain that come down and waters our hungry souls, our hungry spirits, and our emptiness inside of us. That's what it is. And it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. What is this thing? You know what? You know why it doesn't have a real major place in a lot of people? Because they don't have a clue what's in it. Remember what Jesus told the Jews? He said, you make the word of God void because of your traditions and your private interpretations and the way you have changed it. You've taken the power out of it. So what has happened to the church that we're talking about in 2 Timothy, the third chapter? In the last days, perilous times will come. Verse 5, men shall have a form of godliness. What have they done? They've removed the power from God's word. Because they have changed it. They've changed it. They've changed it. You know who the changer is that changed it for them? It's real obvious after a while. There's a devil. And I don't know if anybody saw it. I'm not going to make an issue of it. But there was a little manifestation of one of those spirits up here behind me a little while ago. And somebody that I love greatly. But it was a distracting spirit. And nothing she could do about it because it was a spiritual force. It was at work.
Clock doesn't matter.
No, go for it.
As I was listening when Keith first got up, I realized that I saw some little concepts that are just vital. There's a setting that I just read this morning when I was looking through some chapters, and it says, you know, there are many gods in heaven and on earth which men make up. I mean, it doesn't say that, but if you... But for us, there was one God, the Father. Now, you will not see that if you don't learn who Jesus Christ is.
Exactly.
Because if you don't learn that He's a man, you will never know your God. And that's an exhortation to anybody hearing this. You will not know your God because you will keep making Him something that He is not. And He's put it forth who He is. And it's like, so if you're not seeing that, it's deception. And I hate to say that. And who am I? I'm nobody. But God gave truth. And why? I don't know why. But He opened the Scriptures. And because He wants to be. You know, that's the greatest thing that happened to me, that I got to know more about who my God really is and how, you know, He will never be all in all if you don't have that revelation of who Jesus Christ is. You will never make Him all in all, which the Scripture says even Christ will do in the end. He'll lay it all before Him so that what? That the Father, God, will be all in all. That is the ultimate consummation of who we are. God wants to be known. And He sent His Son for Him to be known. And that's why Jesus spoke. When you start being open as a little child, He just keeps laying out Scripture upon Scripture to back up what He's wanting us to know. And it's, so, I mean, that concept, yeah, is it important? Well, all of a sudden, it really got important to me this morning when I saw that if I don't see who Jesus Christ is, I will never know my Father.
Exactly.
You know? Don't you want to know? You better want to know your Father, the Creator, the ruler of all the universe. And His Son knew Him. His Son knew. He knew He was just the Son. And He was really happy about it. He was completely satisfied. And look at what it gained Him. The ultimate that God could give, you know. Because God said, you're going to be everything. Basically, almost said, you're going to be everything that I am. Because you were who you were as a man. You know what? He's going to get. We can't comprehend what eternal life in heaven is going to be like, because it's going to be, you're going to find out what your mind can't even comprehend. You're going to find out about who God is, because that's when He will totally open Himself up to all of us, not just the Son, because He was the first fruit. And He's the head of the church, and it's the body. You're part of the body. So how can you keep making this other thing? I'm exhorting. You gotta drop your pride and everything and go humbly before Him and say, I want to know if that's true. Because I don't want you to take it from me. I want you to ask God, is that true? And then go to His Word and humble yourself and see if He will teach you. Wouldn't you want that? That's where I got to. I finally listened and thought, oh, Keithy just keeps talking about this Word. And you know how that's been in the past when people got all uppity about the Word. And then I went, and I'm being kind of, you know, plain talk here, but then I went, well, how could it be wrong to listen to the Word of God? How can that be wrong? And that's where it started breaking me down a little. And then I would listen for 5 minutes. I'd flip the tape on for 5-10 minutes in my truck driving, and then I'd go back to music or something else. Probably, for a while, gospel station, which now I can't even listen to them anymore. But, and you know what? In those 5 or 10 minutes, He would always give me a little drop of that water from heaven. It was amazing. And then maybe the next time, 4 days later, I'd listen for 20 minutes. And He would give me another little drop. And pretty soon I went, this is working. I'm the one slowing it down. But that was okay. And it took time. It took a long time. And so even now sometimes, you know, I have a choice. And I might listen to music and not. But I'm not condemned by it. You know, because that is the thing, especially when you start. You don't have to be 24 hours a day. You just have to start. And He'll meet it immediately. I know He will, if that's what your heart really is. So, but all of that was done to bring us to this revelation of who Jesus Christ really is. And you know what? That is the gospel.
Yes, it is.
And if that has not been out there, then people have not heard the gospel yet. And it's not almost the end because all the Gentiles have heard it. No, they haven't. And a whole bunch of the church hasn't heard it, for Pete's sakes. You know? And that sounds judgmental and condemning. No, that's real reality that He's shown. Whether you like it or not, that's irrelevant. And you know, Paul spoke with some confidence that I can't always, but right now I'm feeling it. You can say things knowing, and then I don't care what you do with it. I know. And it's in the Word for you to know. See, it ain't a thing where, oh, I get it and you don't. No, whosoever will that wants it can have it. You just got to be humble. You got to act like you got to admit you don't know everything, like nothing. But you might not get to that place right away. It took us a while, and we're still not there. You know, I'm still not there. So, but that's, oh, that is so, it is so important.
Yes.
I mean, that's, and to sit and try to work this thing to what you think because somebody told you years ago and it's been in the church for, I don't care how long, if it's been in the church for 800 years, it's still wrong. It's a deception. And if you don't want to know truth, fine. Then gnash your teeth and want to kill us, you know, but it ain't going to matter. You're not on God's side. If that's the case, that's strong words, but I'm feeling it. To say it. So anyway, glory. This was a great service, wasn't it?
When I heard a voice however many years ago, right afterwards, one of the things we did is we took numerous trips to Seattle. And because we know so many people in Seattle, and we would have meetings, oh, some of them had 40 or 50 people in them, some of them, you know, 20. And I was just sharing. I mean, it's just a simple little thing, you know, just listening to the Scripture, and here's why you listen to the Scripture. And I kept gaining some more scriptural information on why. But I heard something, and, you know, at the time, I didn't have a response. But a number of these
individuals, for intellectual people, you know, that I knew from the chapel. And almost any one of these guys had the same argument. It was a friendly argument, but a friendly argument. If everybody sits by themselves and listens to the scriptures, they're all going to come up with different things. You know what my question would be to them now? What have the churches done without listening to the scriptures? They couldn't possibly have come up with that many different things. The church is a mess. Or as some people would say, meth. Anyway. Anything else? Yeah. Well, in relationship to, I think something Ken was just saying was, Jesus was the expressed image of the invisible God. Jesus also said God is spirit. He's the expressed image of the invisible God. And then John 1:18, it says, no man has seen God at any time. Why? Why haven't they seen him?
Because they're invisible.
Because he's invisible. He's invisible. They can't see him. But, and here's it, but the only begotten Son, you don't begot a spirit, a man, the only begotten man, Son of God, who is in the bosom of the Father, whatever that means, he has declared him. Ken, what he was saying about it. It takes, we got to know Jesus to find the Father. You can't get to God without the Son. And the Son is not deity. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is man is not from God. And that is a spirit of the Antichrist. Could the Antichrist make Jesus into a god in the minds of people? My question is, okay, whoever the spirit, any spirit that does not confess he came in the flesh, how else did he come? As a bird? What are the other options? The only other option is spirit. Do you follow me? I don't know of any other. Do you know of any other options, Charlie? And so anyway, God bless you. I love you. And no matter what happens in this election, God's in it. Whether I like it or not. Did you have something, Charlie? Whatever your name is.